I need someone to move to come out of executive session.
I move to come out of executive session.
I'll second.
Okay, we're out of executive session. We have already determined a quorum and called the board meeting to order. Mr. Larson, can you read the board goals for us?
Matt Nuskas, who's sitting in a borough school district, vision, mission, beliefs, values, goals, and objectives. Vision, Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission, Matsu Borough School District prepares students for success. Beliefs, we believe that all students can and want to learn. Students breed success breeds success. The needs and the best interest of students drive all decisions. Stakeholder participation is crucial to student success. Core values, stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, effective, efficiency, respect, collaboration, commitment. Goals. We will improve student success, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for our students and staff. Annual objectives and accountability. Assessed by quarterly metrics and timelines. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Ray DePriest, will you lead us in the flag salute and pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one.
All right, can I have approval of the agenda?
Madam President, I move to approve the agenda with some suggested changes, that we move some items first, the student readmission case, which is currently E, to be the first one, followed by the school names for Kinnick area schools to be the second item, and then just following everything else that was originally in place.
Can I have a second for that?
I'll second that.
All right, that's Mr. Lacey online, if anyone has any questions. Member Larson.
Yeah, I have a parliamentary inquiry, I think that's what it is, about some items on the consent agenda or on the approval of the agenda that I'd like to discuss. Is this a proper time to do that? Or when do I do that? There's an item on the agenda that I don't think should be there, and I'd like to discuss that as far as parliament.
Okay, I'd like to suspend the rules just for a minute while we discuss it. No, oh, I'm sorry, listen. Parliamentarian. Member Welton.
According to the rules, to have an inquiry concerning the parliamentary procedure, it's not debatable and you don't vote on it. The question has to be made to reflect no issues, only the question of the procedures, and so we can start at that point if we have a clear question of the parliamentary procedure.
Member Larson, do you have a clear question of the parliamentary procedure?
I'm never clear, you know that. What I'd like to do is read something about the question, and to make things totally transparent, my statements and questions I gave to the parliamentarian, and I talked to the school board president that I was going to bring this issue up so she could research my questions. So the answer could happen at the meeting. So I did do that. My bullet point, if you can bear with me, I'm going to read through this. It's on a school board action item. We voted on an action item last meeting, and it passed unanimously by a full board. We also stated, as a full board, to place an action item on for this meeting.
Okay, you're getting to the actual issues. You have to get just to the question of the parliamentary procedure.
Well, that's what I'm going to get to. The question of the issue is that...
Let me see if I can help you here. The question would be, can an item be returned that's been voted on?
The question is, this item was unanimously voted on and passed. It is now on this meeting as a new item. It's the same item, only with a tweak. In other words, it's an item that was unanimously passed at the last board meeting, and now it's an item on this board meeting, the same item, only tweaked. We'll say it's a chameleon. It's a different color. It's
Madam President, are you still there?
Member Wilton, can you answer for the parliamentary procedure, and then I'll get you, Member Lacey.
Okay. According to the research that I did, and according to my asking,
okay.
Okay. According to the borough clerk's office, the item has nothing to do with parliamentary procedure or Robert's rules. That what the procedure was correct, and that there is no error in the Robert's rules. The way it passed, the way it was presented, the way it has come back to us is a procedural idea that comes from our board construction of agenda and its policy. It doesn't have anything to do with Robert's rules at this point. Since it was a parliamentary procedure question, I do not wish to go on into policy at this time, because that we would probably have to have a vote on as to whether we wanted to engage in that. But parliamentary
procedure, we don't want to engage in a discussion of our policy. Member Larson.
Yeah, that's fine. My idea, just to throw this out and then I'll leave it alone, is that if this item was to come back to this meeting, it should have come back as a motion to rescind or an amended to the previous motion, and it could have been done that through Robert's rule. It could have been done after the meeting was done. It didn't have to be a reconsideration. It could actually come back as an amended. But in this case, it came back as the same thing, only a different color under the action item. In other words, the board voted on it. The board didn't bring it back, and it just showed up as a chameleon, as
okay,
a different item. Thank you.
All right. Member Wilton.
And as Member Larson said, the board did not bring it back. It would have required that a board member say, I wish to reconsider or I wish to rescind, and have that put on, but that was not what happened. No board member said that. And the rest of it has to do with the policy and procedure of how we construct the agenda. And at the time that the issue comes forward, I would like to bring that part, the policy and procedure, forward at that time, because this is not the time to discuss it.
Okay. If other members, Member Lacey, are you back? Member Lacey? Okay. So we'll move on, and hopefully when we get to Member Cheatham. Okay. So the item on the floor is the approval of the agenda. It's been moved
with
amendments. So does anybody have any objections to moving the agenda forward with the amendments, moving item E and D? Member Larson.
I will vote yes on this because of our parliamentarian, but I still have some discourse about this whole thing, so I will vote in the positive, but I'm really confused on this whole issue to begin with. Thank you.
We'll have plenty of time when it comes up to discuss.
Good enough.
All right, thank you. All right, so the is there any objection to moving that forward? All right, so that the approval of the agenda. So we have persons to be heard on non-agenda items. If we can have Member Welton read the rules.
On persons to be heard on non-agenda items, the following guidelines apply. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items at this time. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comment should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributed to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard, or may be handled in executive session, or may be routed through a more appropriate complaints process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate this privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. There's a maximum of 1 hour per meeting, and this is the first half hour. There is no one on the list of persons to be heard on non-agenda items.
Would anybody like to speak on non-agenda items in the audience? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to administrative reports. Mr. Stone.
Yes, thank you, President Pauger. At the request of the board at the last meeting, it came up that the board desired to hear a little bit more about our online learning. And so Kathy Moffitt, our program administrator for APEX and online learning, will be ready to report and then also be available for questions. And Rob Piku, our executive director for instruction, will also assist.
Hello. I'm Kathy Moffitt, and this is Rob Piku. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Matsui Tech and online learning. And Rob will share some of the research that he found, the findings of research as he was looking today. At the last board meeting, it presented some questions, and I'm hoping that after this presentation, some of those questions will be answered. Online learning is not new in Matsui. And we had a program called See You Online that operated in conjunction with Valley Pathways from August 2000 to May 2004 when it was closed. 2 years ago, one of the board goals was to create multiple opportunities for students to earn credit. Online learning is one of those opportunities. It allows us to adjust to the way students learn. It helps us prepare students for college and careers as more and more online is being implemented in those arenas. Many students were asking for choice. They wanted credit recovery year-round, they wanted opportunities to advance, and they wanted it to fit within their school day. APEX learning curriculum through Matsui Tech is available across the district. Because of that, we were able to consolidate the three advanced path sites into one with a savings of over $600,000. The curriculum is standards-based and research-driven. It meets student needs from at-risk to advanced. It enables Matsui Tech to offer more than 50 different courses. It provides what we call a rigorous core curriculum. It's accredited by the Northwest Accreditation Commission. It meets the National College Collegiate Athletics Association. And that's important to us because a lot of our kids want to earn scholarships. And they always come back to what you did in high school. So when it's paired with a highly qualified teacher and the assessments are proctored, it meets that. AP courses have been approved by the College Board. Apex Learning has been around for some time. It was founded in 1997 and is one of the leading providers of blended and virtual learning solutions for our nation's schools. Clayton Christensen recognized Apex as a leading digital curriculum provider in his best-selling book, Disrupting Class. As part of the Grand Nation Project, Apex personnel are actively working alongside Colin Powell and America's Promise Alliance to end the high school dropout crisis and prepare young people for college and the 21st century workforce. It's something I appreciate about Apex is that they try to stay current, and they're one of the leaders in the nation. Within our district, the opportunity to have choice and flexibility is a big part of the reason students choose. Okay. Other reasons for enrolling are varied, from credit recovery year-round to enrichment and acceleration. Just the other day, in fact, it was the last day of summer, there was a student that came to Palmer High, and she wanted to have her final test in Algebra 2, Semester 2, proctored. So we asked her a couple questions. Number one, she was an incoming sophomore. How come? How come you spent your summer taking this course? And she said, well, I want to get ahead. And then we asked her if she learned a lot. She said, absolutely. And she showed us her binder that was pretty well done. In fact, it earned her some extra credit points. She didn't need them. She earned an A in the course. Today we spoke with a student working after school on her own time, and we said, well, how come online? And she said, well, I'm taking an online health course. We said, well, how come? And she said, well, it's better to be a senior with an online course than to be a senior in a freshman class. So varied, varied reasons. Last year we had about 1,700 course completions. Delivery in Matsu is varied. We have blended models going on where online content is varied with face-to-face classroom activities. We have synchronous models where a group of students will progress through a course at the same time. We had a teacher do that at Wasala Middle, where 30 students in the first semester, she kind of kept them with her, and then she turned them loose to progress on their own, and they did quite well. They accomplished a lot. A lot of our students prefer asynchronous, which means that they can move at their own pace and on their own schedule. Matsu iTech allows for rolling enrollment, which means that students can, it allows flexibility so students can complete one course and then enroll in another. Flexibility with delivery means that if a student ends in one semester and they want to continue that course in the next semester, they do not have to repeat the content. We just pick them up where they left off. And another highlight is the presentation model, and that allows any teacher in our district to use maybe a video clip or an interactive model as part of their classroom instruction. We had a curriculum, was PD at a site, and a lot of the content teachers went through this, and they were pretty excited, and most of them have signed up to have this presentation available to them. If you look at your document that's prepared for you at the bottom, kind of table. In the orange is just an example of what we would consider core content, and it's differentiated into different pathways of learning. The same content is covered, it's just differentiated to help students be successful. In closing, I just want to say that the team at Matsu iTech supports Apex Learning Solution as our curriculum and communication platform. We appreciate that it's founded in research and supports standards. We believe it to be a quality curriculum. We appreciate the flexibility of implementation because we believe that it's helped us help students to complete their dreams. In the words of a virtual teacher, as he reflected on last year, quote, the work we did helped a lot of kids graduate, and it was something I was proud to be part of. Thank you.
Thank you, and good evening. Today we looked at this week some of the research, and Mrs. Moffitt has already mentioned some of the research involved with online learning, more recent research. In 2010, the U.S. Department of Education did a comprehensive study of online learning called the Evaluation of Evidence-Based Practices in Online Learning. And they had four guiding research questions, and we have a copy of that study for anyone who would be interested in reading it. How does the effectiveness of online learning compare with that of face-to-face instruction? Does supplementing face-to-face instruction with online instruction enhance learning? And what practices are associated with more effective online learning? What conditions influence the effectiveness of online learning? And some of the main findings that have already been mentioned, actually, online learning can be enhanced by giving learners control of their interactions with the media and prompting learner reflection. Instruction combining online and face-to-face elements had a larger advantage relative to purely face-to-face instruction than did purely online instruction. Some of the anecdotal data that we learned about is on the UAF campus, over 60% of students take some form of online learning. Approximately 32% of college freshmen who reside on campus take courses online. And like has been mentioned, advantages of online learning, the flexibility, the ability to accelerate learning, remediation through credit recovery, and access students in some of our smaller schools who may not otherwise have access to these courses. Online learning is 21st century learning skill. Industry is increasing the use of online learning to meet their employee development needs. And in conclusion, the Matsu, as been mentioned, has been using online learning for a long time. We believe the research clearly demonstrates that a blended approach to online learning in an asynchronous pattern is what is good for students. We do not want to just put kids in front of a computer. That's not what this is all about, which is why we chose APEX. Online learning fits into the school board's vision of customer service, choice, and innovation. So thank you.
Member Cordero.
Through the chair, if I don't know who can answer this question, but in regards to APEX, is there a number of teachers, teacher-student ratio, like for every so many kids that use APEX, there's got to be X number of teachers being able to mentor or proctor or whatever you call that?
Through Matsu iTech and the Matsu Borough School District, we kind of offer a unique situation. We have virtual teachers, and with that, we try to keep the ratio of 1 to 30. It's more across the nation. It's more, because it becomes very individualized, it's more about the number of students, not necessarily about the content that you're teaching, as long as you're highly qualified under that content umbrella. The other thing that we offer support in our cyber centers with what we call a mentor. And then the mentor is there to support students and proctor assessments and kind of be the cheerleader to help them move on and succeed.
If I may have a follow-up. So who are the teachers that participate in this program? Are these regular neighborhood school teachers that also do this role because they're experts in math or science or something, or are these teachers full-time doing APEX?
Excellent question. Currently, what we do is we have our teachers that want to do it as an add-on, and then they do it after the school day, and they are highly qualified in their content area.
Member Cheatham?
Okay, so that segued into one of my questions. So the teachers who are doing this are not, they are certified in Alaska in their subject area and doing the virtual teaching. They're not, you know, APEX is not selecting, it can get the cheapest teachers who are certified easiest in this state, and they're not doing that. Our teachers are Matsu or Alaska certified teachers who are doing the virtual teaching. Is that right?
Yeah, through the president. Yeah, Member Cheesham. All of our APEX teachers currently they operate with a stipend, so they are our full time teachers, and basically we extend a stipend or a added duty for them.
Member Cheesham.
On a different topic. Thank you. That's really helpful. I appreciate that. a different topic. For our classroom teachers, if you want, if our, you know, there's this big thing going on and about flipped learning, flipped curriculum, where you take what traditionally was in the classroom and you put that online and then do what used to be homework and you do the projects in the classroom so you have the teacher's help when you need it. If any teacher in the district, because there are 900 subscriptions, does any teacher have access to this to weave into their classroom as a platform any way they want, or how do we decide who gets to do that?
It's kind of like juggling balls right now. We have students from across the district enrolling, and then we'll see what our numbers are. But we have schools asking us to do things in creative ways, so it's kind of yes. We have some schools that are saying, we'd like to try this. Could we do this? We have charter schools saying, I would like to be able to offer, but we're small, algebra. Could we use this and have a virtual teacher be the teacher of record, and we'll be the ones facilitating activities and projects in the classroom? So we have it's kind of a varied answer.
I'm sorry, Member Cordero.
Madam President, I'm actually curious. We heard about this at the last meeting. We hear about this today. The administration is recommending approval of this. What is administration's feedback from our principals and our teachers and those folks that are representing those groups? What has been their feedback on APEX?
It's very positive. More and more the phones ring off the hook for students that are in the counselor's office having a need, and can we meet this need? A lot of calls today. I have a senior that needs a half a credit. How can we do that? The student came in and said, I'm not ready. I won't make the requirements for the Alaska Performance Scholarship. Can you help me? And it's just varied needs that we're able to do, and it's very, very, very positive because it's helping students succeed in their dreams.
Member Cheatham.
So, thank you through the chair. I understand if I'm a principal at a charter school, or if I'm a principal at a school, or a counselor. But if I'm a teacher who wants to expand my classroom and make my classroom better, what do I do? How do I get in line for this?
At our sites, they can email Matsui Tech. Mm-hmm. And at our sites, we have site coordinators, which will help them in learning how to navigate through the system and find the components that they can then use at their will as part of their classroom instruction. And we had at Colony High, our site coordinator took teachers content by content and presented this training. And she said she reflected back how positive it was, but it was hard to get them to stop because they were dreaming, oh, I could do this as an enrichment, or this is a way I could differentiate with this. And so it just opens up the minds to the limitless possibilities.
All right. Member Larson.
The teachers that use it, is there a variance or an age group or a certain bulk of the teachers, like being the younger teachers that are more familiar with this versus people my age, I guess, you know?
That's a good question. It varies. Like, I like this platform. I've had over 20 online courses, and I prefer this. So it just varies, too. But I think as more teachers learn how, they're willing to try it because it can be a hook for a lesson. You could be studying in Japan and go to the art course and pull up some interactive art displays, and they're going to expand. So it varies.
Member Lacey, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay. Miss Williams.
I just wanted to say that as a student, I've heard great feedback from other students. I know students who are excelling in their APEX classes just because of the fact that it's offering a different way to learn. I know a lot of students who are able to graduate because of this. I know a lot of students who are able to do other activities and take other advanced classes because of this. So students were excited to know that we were getting online learning last year in all of the big high schools. They were ready to jump on board with this. And I just want to say thank you, because I know a lot of students are so excited about this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. Are there any other questions from the board? All right. Mr. Stone.
No, I guess the only other thing that I would just like to add is our district has made a considerable investment in technology. We've equipped classrooms with Promethean boards, and that's really a great medium to help deliver some of the instruction. And so it marries very well with APEX for teachers to be able to use that technology well. And so it's not just the kids that are trying to take something for credit. It really provides a level of enhancement for our classroom teachers. They can access a lot of things in APEX without having to even pay for licensure or anything. So we're really happy with what's happened with it so far.
All right. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move on to borough and city reports. And looking out at the audience, I don't see City of Palmer or City of Wasilla. So we will move on past those borough and city reports. So we are to superintendent update. Go ahead, Mr. Stone.
Actually, President Powder, do you mind if we go ahead and let Ms. Williams start?
No, that would be great. Are you ready, Ms. Williams?
Student Advisory Board hasn't had a meeting yet, so I don't really have anything to report, but thank you.
All right, thank you.
Do we know
go
that?
Ahead. I'm sorry, next meeting?
We're still working out meetings and specifically meeting locations. I've been in contact with our advisor, Mr. Jensen, but we should have that figured out within like the end of the week or next week.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, good evening, President Powder and board members and all our community out there. Obviously, Superintendent Paramo is unable to make it tonight. She is escorting her oldest daughter, Perry, to begin her freshman year of college at University of Arizona, and so she's sorry she can't be here tonight. I just want to go ahead and report on her behalf that school is going full steam ahead. Administration has visited all sites. Dr. Paramo was out at Snowshoe Elementary modeling healthy lifestyle by cranking out some push-ups, and of course, she never leaves the school without launching them with something inspirational. She really makes it a priority to fill a school with joy, and that is her expectation for teachers and principals. One of our board goals is to provide professional development to instructional staff, and I'd like to share from one of our leading education advocates in the community that speaks to a recent professional development provided to over 200 teachers. I don't believe our district has ever formally thanked Terry Snyder, and she's out there in the audience right now, but in terms of thanking her for how much she advocates for our kids and our school district. I know Dr. Paramo has mentioned to me her admiration for the work Terry does, and that what she's done, all of it is done without compensation. Terry shared the following with me last week. He said, Gene, I have gotten some really great feedback on the beginning of the school year. Terry shared the following. We hear the term professional development day, and no kids will be out of school and teachers work, but many don't know what that professional development day means. And this post by a teacher at Wasilla High totally warms my heart, makes me proud of the job that our district is doing with those PD days. Very timely, as school starts tomorrow for kids and I get to talk education at the Egan dinner on Friday. And this is what a Wasilla High School teacher shared. There's no name here, but this is a little more sentimental than what I usually post. My colleagues and I had the extra special privilege of being part of a school enrichment climate-changing training this week called Capturing Kids' Hearts. I didn't know what to expect on day one, but I am always open to any tools that will help my relations with students and staff. What I received was so much more than that. I saw staff unite by bonding. I saw tough people become vulnerable and supported. I saw insecure people become confident. But most of all, I grew. I was asked to reflect upon myself not only as an educator, but as a colleague, a friend, a family member, a mother, and a wife. I was challenged to ask tough questions and listen to honest answers. I have already implemented changes and felt better about myself. I want to thank my administrators for giving me this opportunity to grow as a person and believing in our staff. And goes on to say she's getting mushy, but now she's ready for students. And so, I feel fortunate that we were able to provide this training to the teachers who participated. We'd also like to thank Joe Boyle and MSEA for working with us on the calendar so we could provide the professional development. And we've had tremendous positive feedback about the training from teachers and participating principals. Nationwide, just a quarter of this year's high school graduates who took the ACT tests have the reading, math, English, and science skills they need to succeed in college or a career, according to data that the ACT testing company released on Wednesday. The numbers are even worse for minority high school graduates. Only 5% are fully ready for life after high school. The results, part of ACT's annual report, indicate thousands of students graduate from high schools without the knowledge necessary for the next steps in life. Being aware of this, our district's taken steps to provide high-level professional development using the National Math Science Initiative Group. All of our 6 through 12 secondary teachers, math, science, English, and social studies, will have received the first module of the training by the end of September. The state has awarded our district $600,000 to assist us with the training, and the second module of training will be offered through our summer SAMS courses and then also finishing up with teachers that weren't able to access the SAMS in September 2014. Our enrollment appears to be on target. Currently, we're nearing 17,000 students in our system. Our projection for budget purposes was 17,317 students. We know historically that more students will trickle in after the fair, and our correspondence enrollment typically doesn't fill up until later in September. So a number of variables hang out there, like the latecomers, kindergarten, correspondence, but overall we feel like we're on target, and our physical counts are reflecting numbers consistent with our electronic reporting. By the end of next week, we should be pretty solid in being able to say how close we are to our final projection. Thank you.
Member Cordero.
Thank you, Mr. Stone, and I also thank Ms. Terry Snyder for all her advocacy. The Department of Education recently shared the new ranking of schools. Was Dr. Paramo, were you surprised by how Matsu schools ranked at all? Were there any, do you have any comments or feedback about that?
Those came out earlier, the preliminary ones in July, and as we looked at those, we one of the first things is it's a new ranking system, and so we're looking at the 5-4-3-2-1. We have a number of schools that were very, very close to being five schools, and some of our three schools were very close. So again, it's what we find that is probably one of the biggest metrics that impacts this is the attendance. And so as a district, that'll be a new, we key in on all these different things as we're, trying to provide evidence that we're, high-performing schools, and one of the components now that or indicators is a big piece is going to be attendance, and rightfully so, because we know attendance has a direct correlation to student performance and learning. So, but that'll be again one of those big challenges for our principals is if they were a 3 or 4 school, it was probably largely linked to attendance.
All right, do we have a bond project update?
Yeah, member, our chief business officer, Mr. Folt.
Thank you, Mr. Stone, President Powger, members of the board. Just a brief update on bond projects. Last meeting I presented quite a few, and just to update you, we do have several more playgrounds completed. At this point, we have Trapper Creek, Talkeetna, Willow, and Larson all complete. We are currently working on Pioneer Peak Elementary and Cottonwood, so we will continue to update you as we move through September, in which case at the end of September we're anticipating the majority of playgrounds being completed. We do have three that are hanging out there because of just some administrative complications. We have two sites, Kinnick and Butte, where the wrong playground equipment was delivered. So we have a little bit of issues there in terms of getting the correct stuff to Matsu. And then we also have an issue with Tenina Elementary being left off of the state project agreement, in which case we're working with the borough, and we've gotten that resolved, but it's a matter of getting the playground equipment ordered and to the district as soon as possible. So we're hoping that the ground doesn't freeze early and that we can get all the playgrounds installed, but that's just a brief update on in terms of playgrounds district-wide. And another project that I've failed to mention last time I updated on bond projects was the CTHS renovation. We've had several meetings thus far for conceptual planning and program detail focus groups. We had meetings over the summer, July 17th, August 5th, and 5th, 6th, and 7th, and we will have our next meeting on September 4th to discuss conceptual designs for that CTHS renovation of approximately 33,000 square feet. Hopefully sometime in October or November, we will be presenting the board with a 35% schematic design for that upgrade or renovation. And then lastly, I do want to mention that we completed all final inspections on August 14th for the athletic complexes at Palmer, Colony, Wasilla, and Houston. So those were turned over to the district, and practices began on August 15th. Thank you.
Thank you. We are now down to consent agenda.
Madam President, I move the consent agenda, A, minutes August 7, 2013, B, 14-013, permission to accept and expend a grant, math science partnership grant, C, 14-014, permission to apply for a grant, Big Lake Community Council grant, D, 14-018, recommendation for certified new hires, and E, 14-019, recommendation for rehire of retired teachers.
Second.
So it's moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Any problems? Okay, so we will take a voice vote because Member Lacey is on the phone. So Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Cheatham.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Neil Lacey. I think he was on the phone. Member Lacey.
Yes.
Member Cordero.
Yes.
Member Rutherford.
Yes.
And I vote yes, so our consent agenda has moved. That brings us down to action items. Can I have someone move item E, which is what we moved forward?
I'd like to move item E 14-017, student readmission case, E11-004.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. This is a student readmission case, so we have no discussion on this, so we're going right to vote. Member Lacey.
Yes.
Member Rutherford?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Cheatham?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
Almost called you Mr. Olson. I too vote yes. So we will be readmitting this student to school. Item D is the next one in order.
I move item D, 14-016, school names for Kinnick area schools.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. I think we had somebody who wanted to split the question. Is there somebody? I think we split the question and then have. Did anyone want to split the question? I'm sorry, we were talking about parliamentary procedure. Is anyone wanting to split the question where we divided out to two different discussions, the high school and the elementary school, or would you like to keep it as one discussion item? Member Larson.
What would be the purpose of splitting it?
From what I understand, when you split the question, we would have two topics. One topic would be the naming of the high school, and another topic would be the naming of the elementary school. The way it is now, it's both of those on one discussion item.
I move to split the question.
Do I have a second? Okay, that fails for lack of a second. So we have moved then name school names for Kinnick Area Schools. Can I have a administrative report?
Yes, President Powder. What I'd like to do is quickly run through timeline for the naming of the new Kinnick school for folks, if that's all right. So I just wanted to start with basically board policy lets us the board can do what they say is appoint an ad hoc committee, and so a committee was appointed. We had Mike Vervolo, Amy Spargo, Kevin Toothaker, Ed Clausen, and Ashley Kelly. Mike Vervolo is the executive director of instruction. Amy Spargo is the principal for Wasilla High School. Kevin Toothaker is with the Kinnick Tribal Council. Ed Clausen is a Wasilla High School teacher. And then Ashley Kelly is a Kinnick area parent. So on May 20th, the committee met at Wasilla High School, and then from that meeting, Dr. Promo said that she would share with the board president the recommendations from the committee and forwarded the two names that were considered, Denina Junior Senior High School and then Joe Reddington Senior Junior Senior High School. School board president Susan Pauger would then make a determination as to how the board would proceed after that. We had some input from various folks, Kevin Toothaker and Kinnick Tribal Council that was in support of naming the high school the Denina High School. Dr. Promo then moved forward thinking that it would be a good idea to get some additional input from the community and put it on a help name our school. That was in July, and it was concept design on MSVSD's homepage. And then asked people to participate in a naming survey. At that point, we ran into some what we found later, some communication where Kinnick Tribal felt, and we had a meeting with them that. While a lot of our community folks are maybe used to that survey methodology that we would use online, maybe a lot of the folks in the tribal community or the Kinnick Tribal probably weren't aware of that or didn't know how to access that survey and didn't feel like they had ample opportunity to give input for that. So in listening to that, Dr. This was after we had already had our board vote on this. Really, Dr. Promo listened, and I think ultimately, I guess I could probably just sum it up that Dr. Promo really felt that it could be a win-win situation. I think in her estimation that it was very close based on the survey in terms of how the folks supported one or the other. I think just kind of listening in how the board went as that name, Joe Reddington Senior, Junior Senior High School, it was kind of a tongue twister. Also, really just wanting to honor both parties. I think, you know, there were also communication with the Reddington family. And in listening to the Reddington family, the daughter-in-law had expressed that she felt that it was an honor to have the name as an elementary school, if it was very important for the junior-senior high school to the first indigenous people of the valley to have the high school named. She was very supportive of that, and she thought that it would be an honorable thing to do. And so I think Dr. Promo, I think she realized that there might be some consternation over this, but I think she was willing to do the right thing, and I think demonstrate some courageous leadership. I also believe that, you know, we've witnessed Dr. Promo's leadership the past couple of years. I can't remember her really being wrong. In this situation, she felt like it really needed revisited, and that if our intent is really to honor these two groups, these two people, that it's and if both parties are feeling honored in this in the recommendation from Dr. Promo, then she just felt like it was the right thing to do. So that's me speaking as best as I can for Dr. Promo and for everybody that's gone through this process. And I think we just know historically that every time we do naming of the school, we always have differences of opinion. And I think you like to think that you can get it right the first time, but sometimes I think we find as the board, as a body, as a school district, it warrants going back and revisiting something. So, again, I just want to, on Dr. Promo's behalf, thank everybody for everything they've done to this point, and for people trying to work towards a win-win situation.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the public who would like? I'm sorry, Member Welton.
I wish to ask for a recess. To I have a question that requires confidentiality for Mr. Stone.
All right. We will take a short 5-minute recess to discuss matters. Thank you. From that short recess, what the question was and what we discussed was we received a letter, and the school board members wanted to make sure if they discussed that letter that it wasn't a confidential letter and that it could be given to the public if the public asked for that. So it is not a confidential letter, and we can discuss it in our talking about this subject. So is there any member of the public who would like to speak on this subject? If you want to come forward and state your name for the record, we have 3 minutes for each person.
Is this on? Good. Okay. Thank you. Yali Eshlanda Shashida Deborah Call. My name is Deborah Call. She'i Danina Kanika Nuatana Eshlan Kakali Eshlan. I am Danina from the Fishtail Clan of Kanik. Shunkta Virginia Nikita. My mother is Virginia Nikita. Chu'u Bobby Call. My father is Bobby Call, who was a resident of the Palmer area and a former school bus driver, so maybe one of your employees. Shishikta Delia Stefan Nikita is my grandmother who fished on the bluffs of Elmendorf 80 years ago. Shishayala Akta Little Nikita is my grandfather. Historians, linguists, anthropologists, archaeologists, and many Dena'ina elders and speakers have called this land in this area Dena'ina Ethlan, Dena'ina country. We all love this land. We call it home. And we're so fortunate to live in a beautiful and bountiful part of the world. I'm here to support the naming of the elementary school, the Reddington Elementary School. Why? Because it honors a man who created a 10-day internationally known event in Alaska that challenges stamina, strength, and strategic thinking, the Iditarod. Over 40 years of races, the event has created a new set of Alaska heroes for our kids, such as the late Susan Butcher, Libby Riddles, Martin Boozer, and recent winners Dallas and Mitch Seavey. Teachers also took his dream to heart and took it to the classroom to spark an imagination for kids to go into new places and books, the Iditarod. Reddington created the aura of pioneering explorer spirit with the Iditarod. Taking the race challenge to inspire young people to have confidence to try something, even for only 10 days. His legend and other Iditarod heroes will live within our kids. Young kids need heroes to establish good values and a sense of adventure like a musher who overcomes the challenges of Alaska's harsh winter environment for 10 days. This is a start in a young person's life. However, reality goes beyond 10 days on the trail. It's called life. I'm also here to support the naming of the high school, the Dena'ina Junior Senior High School. Why? Because, as you just mentioned in your statistics, the ACT scores for minority students, we need some STEM training in addition. Because our kids will grow up, they will remember the Iditarod heroes and reading adventures over a 10-day period in elementary school. We also know our young men and women need life skills to be resilient and thrive on change. I do not know of a more resilient people than Dena'ina of Cook Inlet, or Tekatnu as we call it, who have lived a very subsistence lifestyle in the 1930s, only 80 years ago, even though we've been here for 1,000 years, and having raised Dena'ina children to become college...
Ma'am, your time is up. We're going to turn the mic on if you can just wrap up. Okay.
We believe in the Mat-Su Borough School System. We partnered with the Mat-Su on tribally focused funding. While our grant dollars have focused on serving Native students that come from all over Alaska, it benefits all children and the schools just by having an extra set of teaching hands and minds to focus on more kids to teach life skills to be resilient and strong. We believe in this leadership, and we encourage you to support the Dena'ina Junior Senior High School naming because it recognizes the people that are indigenous to this area. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else who'd like to speak on this topic? All right. So, board, we are open for discussion of this topic. Member Larson.
I guess the first topic, since it's not as procedural, and it is on this subject, we voted on this last meeting. A unanimous vote by the school board, and it passed unanimously the naming of the high school. Now, I'm only talking about procedures here and not talking about the naming of any school at this time. What we did is we unanimously voted on this, every board member, and I talked about possibly how it could have been brought back by a board member, but if our procedures are so broken that now this, the subject that was, I mean, the item that was voted on unanimously is now back in front of us as new business, is besides myself with it. In other words, everything that we approve today can come back next week or next next 2 weeks from now as a different animal. And if our procedures are that bad, then our votes mean nothing. That we're not even skating on thin ice, that we're simply sitting in the water, if that's a possibility, that we have no civil method of running a meeting, because anything we vote on simply can come back the following week and be re-voted on. So virtually what happened, if we vote on this one way or the other, next week we could have some other entity complain, and a staff member then can bring it back as another item, and we can just continue this all the way through the winter. That's the procedure I'm talking about, because member Welton said it is not falling to the Roberts Rule of Order, but procedure. So something's broken here.
Okay.
But one quick thing. I know we bring back things like schedules, and we bring things back that have misspellings or paragraphs that are wrong. But in this case, we're bringing back something that we voted on in a whole, and just saying your vote didn't count. Sorry. You know.
Okay. Member Welton.
I appreciate the understanding of Mr. Larson. I did look through the board policy, and I looked through some historical things, and yes, we bring things back. The only time we don't is when we come up with a reconsideration and we vote on it, then it is something that will stick unless we get new information. According to board policy 9322, fourth paragraph, any member of the public may request that a matter within the jurisdiction of the board be placed on the agenda of a regular meeting. The request must be in writing, submitted to the superintendent, supporting documents and information. When requesting the agenda, the board president, chief school administrator will decide whether a request is within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board and whether the agenda item is appropriate for discussion. Those procedures were done. The president and the vice president of the board, just the president and the superintendent were involved in the decision to put it on. There was substantial different information, and it was a change in the fact that we're naming two schools this time instead of just the one. I am concerned that we have a policy about the way we choose school names, and that's board policy 7511, which comes under new construction. And I believe that we need to look at that and say, did we follow it? If we followed it, then we are okay, and if we follow the other process for bringing something to the agenda, then we're okay. So, and if people think that we did something wrong, we need to hear about it. The school board, for the naming of facility, the school board believes it is appropriate for schools or individual buildings to be named. And there are two points here. One, in honor of individuals who have made outstanding contributions to the community, state, or borough. And two, in recognition of the geographic areas in which the school or building is located. So the board may appoint an ad hoc committee to review all name suggestions for the board's final consideration. It does come to the board. It is our decision. And so that's the piece. If we can take the recommendations of people, but it does come to us. And several conversations have said, this is one of those decisions that's going to give us heartburn and keep us up at night. So,
Member Cordero.
Thank you, Madam President. And this is one of those issues that is difficult. But I actually believe that our school district went out of the way to seek public comment. In the past, when we named a school, an ad hoc committee would be created, and they would make a recommendation, and then the board would vote, and that would be it. We actually made a request to use iParent and online surveys to through the summer break for people to make the comments. And there was a vote. And I believe that it is no one's intention to be disrespectful to any person or any group. That's certainly no one's intention. I believe that we would be disrespecting the public process that took place if we go back and change that vote, or at least supersede that vote with a new one. So that's my only concern, is that we actually went out of our way to seek public comment more than ever before, and we got it. And the majority of folks voted in favor of the school that we named after Mr. Reddington. And again, my comments are basically on just that concern on the public process. It has nothing to do with supporting one or the other. I'm a member of a minority group. I clearly sympathize with the views of other minority groups, but at the same time, I believe that we should respect the public process that was in place. So that's my view. Thank you.
Member Cheatham.
Yes, I'm going to make the motion that we amend the item and change places, having the elementary school named Denina and the high school named Reddington. I'm incredibly moved by the testimony we heard today, and you know, even during the last meeting, my thought was that if it were up to me, I would have chosen Denina as the high school. But there are several things. One is that just we can't change names. You know, these are naming schools are always is always going to be difficult, and it's always going to be contentious. And I think we have to have a really, really strong compulsion to change our mind. And then the other thing that is the factor is what I found out. I didn't realize that this had actually happened to Reddington before. There was a previous school that was almost named after Reddington, and then there was a lobbying effect impact after that, and so it pulled out of there. And with those, with that history, and with the desire to set a precedent, to keep the precedent that this be as you know, that we make these decisions as carefully and solidly in the future, I'm making that motion.
Okay, so let me clarify. You're making a motion to
reverse the. Right now, what's on the table is to name the. Let me see if I can get it right. To name the high school Denina and the elementary school Reddington, and I am moving that we reverse that and name the high school Reddington and the elementary school Denina.
Okay, so that's the motion. Is there a second on that motion?
Just point of order, Madam President. I believe it's a move to amend.
That's right.
Move to amend. Okay. And a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so it's been moved to amend and seconded. We're having discussion, and
I would like to speak to the
member. Okay, I'm sorry. And then member Williams. All right, go ahead.
Okay, first off, I want to say that this has been really, really difficult. Secondly, when it came to us the last time, I actually was going to go the other direction until we got the poll. I really thought that the high school should be named Denina, but we got the poll. And the last 4 or 5 days, I have been inundated with phone calls and emails that say it needs to be Reddington. Okay. In my heart,
in my process for thinking this out, I believe that both names have value and both names can be honored. I really appreciate the testimony tonight on the name of Reddington. I used to live at mile 10 Kinnick and Goose Bay Road, and I know that that was the Reddington area, and it was also Dena'ina area. I have to say, this has been difficult. I think that the vote that was taken last time needs to be honored. I also believe that people have the right to bring it back because there was more information. I don't particularly know that that information was as valuable as some people think it might have been. I do think that we ought to look at the process. Maybe we need to look at whether we do ask for a poll or don't ask for a poll, just bring it to the school board next time. Thank you.
Member Williams.
I would just like to also bring a point to the floor that we do already have an elementary school named Tenina, and I could see that for elementary school students having a school named Tenina and Dena'ina, that could be very confusing for them. Also for new people to our community and just general members as well. I also feel like a Reddington Elementary School would fit better with the curriculum that elementary school students study, and that a Dena'ina High School would fit better with our Alaska Studies course that high schoolers are required to take. So, thank you.
Thank you. Member Larson.
I second Ms. Will. I second Ms. Wilton's comment about procedure. The only thing that I was a little bit upset about on the procedure is I think on the procedure change, if you're going to take an item like this and then reinvent it and bring it back, maybe a poll of the board or, you know, talking to the board members about it coming back would have been a better way of doing it since it's our procedure. The reason I want to talk about that real quick is because I was shocked when I read the packet that all of a sudden out of the blue, that our vote was cast aside. That was my whole beef on the procedure issue, not on the content or the merit of the content. Thank you.
Member Rutherford.
When we first received the additional information on this issue, it immediately had an emotional impact on me. As you know, I am Athabascan. I wanted to do a little research. I would never want to honor someone who had dishonored my people, frankly. So I did. I reached out, and I also reached out. I grew up here and housed mushers in the beginnings of the Iditarod race, reached out to villages about the feelings, you know, across the state about Mr. Reddington. So having said that, I satisfied myself that I don't, I'm not going to get into whether or not everyone loved him. You know, I don't know as though everyone loved Mr. Shaw. He was an attorney, so obviously some people didn't. And, Mr. Larson, I loved him. Not everyone did, especially those who he failed in his class. But I
You're
felt
not
that
talking about me now.
No, Ron Larson. But the having satisfied the fact that both are names worth honoring, I thought more about procedure, like we've been saying. And I do think that it disrespects the procedure to just switch right now. We did reach out to people in the area. They did voice their concerns. They have since voiced even more concerns. While I might, you know, our procedure wasn't perfect and we should revisit that, but while I might consider tabling and making a big effort to reach out again if that's really what we want to do, I would not at this point vote for changing what we decided last time. I personally think, with all due respect, Ms. Bacall, it's 10,000 years our people have been here, 1,000, oh, right here. And I think that children's hearts are changed when they're young, and I like the idea of an elementary school personally being denied it, because that's where I see that young children learning Native heritage and really gaining respect for it, is when they're very little, taught about it very, very little. But at this point, I would vote for the amendment, or I'd vote for waiting, but I would not be in favor of switching right now.
Member Lacey, do you have any comments on this? We'll wait while you take it off mute. Member Lacey?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to point out that I didn't, my vote didn't count on the computer, but the point is we need to tighten up these procedures on these schools at this point, and that's all I need to say. Thank you.
All right. Member Rutherford?
I also want to make clear that this is a junior-senior high. Because it's a few times we've said high school. It's a junior-senior high we're naming. There very, very likely will be another opportunity to name another school when it becomes a middle school and we build a new high school. I mean, that's not a given, but it's very, very likely. But I want to point out that this is not a, this name, if and when we build a high school, we'll stick with the middle school, correct?
That's correct.
Yes. Member Welton.
I do have a question about that. If it's going to be a middle high school, why have we called it junior senior high? because it starts at sixth grade, it's a middle school. So I don't understand why we have in the past. I mean, the last time brought it up as a junior senior high when it's a middle school high school.
Go ahead. Yeah, I think that is what we did at Houston, called Palmer Junior Middle School. We've thrown that junior in. I don't know why.
All right. Does any other member, Member Larson?
What school, for historical, I was just wondering what school was also came up to Reddington's name and was named a different school?
I believe that was Thielen. Was it Larson? Oh, Larson Elementary. Huh.
Okay. Any other comments? Any other discussion? Okay. So, I'm sorry. So we're on the amendment to... Okay. The amendment to the action item. Then we will... vote on this, and then we'll discuss again before we vote. Okay. Oh, my goodness. All right. So we're voting on the amendment to name the elementary school Joe Reddington. I'm sorry. Okay. So we're voting to, my goodness, name the elementary school Denina, and uphold our vote for last session to name it Joe Reddington Senior Junior Senior High School. Okay, so we're having a voice vote. So, Member Lacey. He has to mute his phone. He's voting yes. Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Cheesham.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Cordero.
Yes.
Member Rutherford.
Yes.
And I too vote yes. So that amendment passes. So we're back to
main motion.
motion.
The main motion.
As amended.
As amended. So do we need to vote on it again? Because it's basically the same vote.
Yes, you do.
Okay, so we are voting again.
Unless there's discussion.
I'm sorry. Discussion on this item. I want to weigh in. I have had some real interesting discussions with the public calling me, and I really feel that we need to honor the public vote. People went online, were very excited. They voted to name it Joe Reddington Sr. We brought that topic up. It was a very, very public process with lots and lots of time to have your vote count or to bring up other concerns, and we didn't hear those. So I want to honor the vote that the public had. So with that, Member Rutherford.
Yes.
Member Cordero.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Cheesham.
Yes.
Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Lacey.
Yes.
And I too vote yes. So we have two names. We have Kinnick Area Senior Junior High School named Joe Reddington Senior Junior Senior High School, and an elementary school coming online named Denina. All right. Thank you. I'd like to take a 10-minute recess. Okay, we're back to action item A. Can I have someone bring it forward?
I move 14-010, Matsu ITech APEX contract approval for online learning.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We've already had an administrative report. So is anyone in the does anyone in the public want to speak on this item? All right, seeing none, we are open for board discussion. Member Larson.
I'm, of course, going to vote in approval of this, but I just want the public to know that I would never use it, but I'm glad it's there for my grandchildren and my children who are computer literate. I'm a computer impaired, I'm afraid. Thank you.
All right. Member Cordero.
After talking to some members of the public, and I wish that eventually we could do this in-house with our own experts, with our own computer system and teachers, versus having to hire a lower 48 company, but at the same time, I think this is a great program and I will be supporting it.
Member Lacey. All right, Member Lacey.
Yes, I'm concerned that we spend an awful lot of money on this program, and I also share Member Eric's sentiments about we have the computing power to do this at home. We offer it in other forms of it in other schools, and I would like to get away from spending money in a lower 48 company. Thank you.
Okay. Our student member, Ms. Williams, do you have any comments?
I just hope that we vote to continue this program because it offers amazing opportunities to our students, and I know so many students would be disappointed that they wouldn't be able to take these classes in the future, or that that we would lose this program. And I know this program means a lot to a lot of students. So.
All right, Member Cheesham.
Well, yes, I don't feel like we have any choice. We the contract's up for right now, and we don't have anything to substitute it with right now. So I don't want to lose the this is a great sales technique. We don't want to lose that $100,000 a year if we break it down to 3-year projects. I would like to see us go forward with something like a comprehensive plan that pulls in, you know, we can pull in the marketing people from Apex, but look at the whole world of online and use that and the changing use of the technology. I think there is, I'm convinced from the presentation today that there is a lot of quality here, but I want to make sure that we're going forward really thinking about every possibility and with the goal of improving our classes that we have as we add the online classes, because they go hand in hand, and we need to. I don't want to slip into having this substitute for the great teaching that we have here, because I think we will lose quality over the long run if we do that. And so I want to see this conversation continue after we vote to approve this contract.
All right. Are there any other board comments? All right. So we would like to have an advisory vote from Ms. Williams. This is something that is in our board rules and goals, to have an advisory vote from our student. We haven't had a student who's wanted to participate in that advisory vote. So, Ms. Williams, your advisory vote, please.
Yes.
All right. Member Larson.
Yes.
Member Cheesham.
Yes.
Member Welton.
Yes.
Member Cordero.
Yes.
Member Rutherford.
Yes.
And Member Lacey. Member Lacey? Did we listen?
No.
No. Okay. And I vote yes. So this passes with Member Lacey in opposition. All right. So we're down to item B, Kinnick Area Junior Senior High School, or Joe Reddington Senior Junior Senior High School, 35% design approval. Do we have a administrative report? We had that last week. Okay.
Madam President, I would.
Okay. I'm sorry, Member Cordero.
I would move item B, 14-011, Kinnick Area Junior Senior High School, 35% design approval.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. We do have Mr. Wolf here to answer any questions, if the board has any questions. And is there any member of the public who would like to weigh in on this? All right. So we're open to board discussion, board comment. Do we have any comments from the board? Okay, Member Larson.
Just one quick question. I know we'll probably hit 95 or 98% in January or February. When is, and I think the question has been answered before, but when is the shovel going to hit the ground on possible construction timeline-wise after bidding and everything else is out there?
Yeah, Mr. Wolf and Mr. Rivolo, can you approach?
President Poucher, Mr. Stone. Probably in May or June, if it goes the traditional approach, it'll bid in March, goes out to bid. It'll be about 5 weeks for it to bid. Once the bids are received, they're reviewed, probably take another month for them to be approved and go through the assembly process for approval before a contract can be signed.
Member Cheesham.
Yes, to the chair. I noticed that there was no, that and that little box that said psychologist and it said zero. Is that for junior and high schools? Do we, is that just the borough-wide that we don't have a psychologist?
Yeah, we do have psychologists, and they at times will be at different buildings in different locations, and so they may be housed at different buildings.
Member Rutherford.
I just want to clarify that this school will or will not have sixth grade.
It will have sixth grade.
Okay, because our memo said seventh and eighth, and it didn't say sixth. But it will have sixth grade. And it will. Yes. You will have to go to sixth grade if you're out there, because unlike, isn't it, Willow offers it because Sioux Valley doesn't or something. So mm-hmm. The elementary school has sixth grade out there, but no other elementary school has sixth grade.
Right.
Correct.
All right. Member Larson.
Now, the borough put out, or did they? I think they did. They put the bond out for the roads for different schools, which includes this school, for the October ballot. If that doesn't pass, is the road feasible enough to travel to? In its condition, if not, how will it be upgraded?
There's a couple of challenges. The road is passable. You can drive on it. It's a borough standard road. It's not paved. Clay Chapman is the road off to the south. It's unimproved, and the road that accesses the school is paved, but there are no utilities to the site yet, and that needs to be extended from Connect Goose Bay.
Is that part of the bond project?
It is not. It is not funded yet.
Ms. Williams?
I was just going to ask about where you're considering about placing lockers. I read that they were going to be in the corridor, but not opposing each other. Can you explain that?
You mean not in a locker bank? The request was not to have them in a locker bank. We are actually trying really hard to get all of the lockers in there. They are going in the corridors. The corridors are pretty wide. But we were pretty efficient with the circulation, and so they're not long enough. And so we're working really hard to get all of the lockers in there. But they were requested not to be in locker banks.
They're set up similar to like Houston High School or Colony. They're right along the hallways on the walls.
Any other discussion, questions from board members? Member Lacey, do you have any questions?
No, thanks. No.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks. All right, so we're ready to vote. So can we have a student advisory vote from Ms. Williams?
Yes.
All right. Member Cordero?
Yes.
Member Rutherford?
Yes.
Member Welton?
Yes.
Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Cheesham?
Yes.
And Member Lacey?
Yes.
And I too vote yes, so this has passed, 35% design approval. We're down to item C.
Madam President, I move 14-015, resolution 14-001 in support of smoke-free workplace law in Alaska.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Do we have an administrative report?
We heard the resolution read from Ms. Terry Snyder, and we just propose that it remain in the form written and ready for action on it.
All right. Do we have public comment on this? Okay. With no public comment, we are open for discussion. Member Cordero.
As a former 13-year smoker, I am fully supportive of this resolution. My only question is on the sixth whereas, where it says 9 out of 10 Alaskans, including 7 out of 10 smokers, believe that smoking should be prohibited. I think the resolution would be better if we had a source of where those numbers came from, like what survey or what poll or what research, because there are sources in the other whereases except for that one. So that would be my only comment. But otherwise, I support the resolution.
All right. Is there any board objection for us to put the items requested by Mr. Cordero in after the vote on this item? Any objection, Mr. Lacey?
No.
All right. Any further discussion on this item? Member Cheesham.
Just to highly support it. I think it's we are sort of a pioneering district in having our smoke-free buildings, and I think it's very appropriate for us to put our name behind this.
Thank you. An advisory vote from Ms. Williams?
Yes.
All right, I did, sorry, I kind of did that out of order. I would like to make a comment on this item. My mother died of lung cancer. It's a horrible way to end your life. So I fully support this. Member Larson?
Yes.
Member Walton?
Yes.
Member Cheesham?
Yes.
Member Cordero?
Yes.
Member Rutherford?
Yes.
And Member Lacey?
Yes.
And I, too, vote yes on this. Can we take a 5-minute break? Thank you. From our little break, we are down to non-action items, and there are no non-action items. So we're going down to future items, future business. We have a September 4th meeting up at Glacier View Elementary, Junior and Senior High School, up at Glacier K-12 School. We have a September 10th meeting. It's the Joint Assembly and School Board meeting. We also have the first Monday of September is the holiday, so it would be September 9th will be our meeting with the assembly here in Dr. Paramo's office for the committee. And do we have any other future items that anyone knows of? Member Welton.
We need to schedule a policy meeting.
We do. We have a couple of policies we've discussed tonight that we want to look at. And it is you and Member Lacey on the policy committee?
And anybody else who wishes to come.
Okay.
I suggest, and Mr. Stone has been sitting in on that, so I suggest either Tuesday the 17th at 5 p.m. or Thursday the 19th at 4.
Member Lacey, do you have any preference?
No, but if you could just please send me an email for when I get back into town, whatever day you fix, fine.
Okay.
Mr. Stone?
Mr. Stone?
Either of those dates should work.
Okay, so I'm going to say Tuesday the 17th.
All right, Tuesday the 17th at 5.
Yeah, let's have it here.
Okay, at the Admin Building. Is there any future items that people would like to discuss at these meetings coming up?
I just had a question.
Member Cordero.
Madam President, for Member Welton, through you, if we were interested in submitting suggestions and policies, can we do that directly to you, or should we do it through the chair?
To me, if I
thank you. Thank you.
I do want to say that we need to have a something about the resolutions for AASB, and I just feel that everybody should read at least the new ones, and if you have suggestions for ones to propose, that they are ready for the next school board meeting. if there's any questions or things that need to be reviewed, that we can have a brief work session
On the AASB, and people bring forward the ones they would like to discuss.
We need to have passed that on the 18th. It has to be passed so that we can send it on to the AASB.
All right. So September 4th meeting, if you have, if you'll read through the new resolutions from AASB, and bring forward the ones you'd like to discuss as a board. Member Larson.
And where are those found?
I'm sorry?
Where are those found? Are they?
You should have received a packet through email from AASB that is the new resolutions.
Probably did. I'll go online.
Okay.
I'll have my kids go online for me.
Have them download it to a little, you know, icon. All right. All right. If there is no other business, Member Larson?
Yeah, I would like to, the policy committee just to take a look at the policies I was concerned with to see it, and kick it down to them. To take a look and see if we can tighten up the issue. I don't want to make a big mess of it, but just to take a look at it. I think Member Welton has my concerns down, and she is more than apt to work with those somehow and probably shut me down again, but I enjoy that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So the next item of business is persons to be heard on non-agenda items. If you were not here for the beginning of the meeting and are planning on speaking, we don't let you say names and identify people personally, but I think that's the biggest rule. Is there anybody who would like to speak to the public on persons to be heard on non-agenda items? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to correspondence and board committee reports. Do we have any board committee reports? Any correspondence? We did receive quite a few emails as a whole board from the public on the naming of the new school. So just to let you know that the school board did receive quite a few correspondence and letters from the public on that topic. Comments from school board and administration, Mr. Stone.
I have no comments other than we want Dr. Promo to come back so she can run the next one.
Okay. Ms. Williams.
I just wanted to say that I'm glad we got my voting squared away, and I'm very excited to offer my advisory vote. And besides that, as soon as we get our SAB meeting dates squared away, I'll let you all of you guys know, so maybe you can come by and say hi, meet everyone. And besides that, that's it. Thank you.
All right. Member Rutherford.
Yes, ma'am. I had several positive comments about online registration and how smoothly it went and how happy they were that there was not one single piece of paper that had to be printed and brought to school this year. And I myself appreciated it. I had several positive comments about the athletic fields and how gorgeous they are. So I think that that's something the whole community can enjoy, whether or not they have students still in school. I, too, heard several positive comments about the professional development before school, and I really hope that that can be expanded to anyone who didn't get to hear it, because everyone who did had good things to say. I also think that that Big Lake Community Council grant that we approved there speaks really highly. I think that's the third community council that I've heard of that was willing to spend their money that they get on their local community school. I think that says a lot to our community, neighborhoods involvement in their own school and taking ownership of it, and that anytime we can encourage that, that's great. And lastly, I want to applaud our emphasis on equity that Dr. Promo has and the board has. You know, our furniture refreshment is one little example of that. Everywhere we turn, we talk about creating equity within our large district and our 45 schools. In my mind, equity means equity in classroom experience. And we all know that equity does not always mean same, does not always equate to same. And I say that because as school started again, I believe that I've seen a couple of examples that caused me to ask the board and the administration in the long run, as we go into budget, in our long-range planning, to revisit our pupil-teacher ratio matrix in small outlying schools as it relates to equity. And the examples have to do with the fact that a very large school gets our pupil-teacher ratio targets that we have get applied to every school. A very large school may have dropped in enrollment and have to lose one grade teacher. They have several classrooms in that grade. They spread out those students among all the remaining classes, and it has a little less of an impact. You have a little tiny school that has one or two classes in each grade. They lose a teacher, and it has a much larger impact on the classroom experience of those students. We're very creative, and I applaud that. We have combined grade classes, which often work well. And everyone knows there are trade-offs when you're in a little tiny school and a very large school. The little tiny school doesn't get some extracurricular activities, but gets a lot of one-on-one activity. But what I've seen in a couple small outlying schools is I've seen that lost teachers because of our matrix that we're trying to apply evenly across the board. You know, I've seen a fifth grade class with 32 students in it. That's an awful lot, and it's way above our matrix. But it's because it was a tiny school, and when you lose one out of two, you don't have a whole lot of choices. I've seen a small outlying school that has one teacher to cover four grades of high school. Now, it may be a handful of students that get a lot of one-on-one time, and that's great, but it's still, that's a very broad curriculum, 9 through 12. So when we look at that pupil-teacher ratio and think about equity, I think that it's worth revisiting that matrix when it comes to very small schools and whether or not there should be something else that factors into that ratio as we move into the next budget season. Not only the student experience, but I worry a little bit about teacher burnout and parent satisfaction, you know, also when it comes to those large classes and those small outlying schools. Thanks.
Member Cordero.
Thank you. I look forward to the meeting at Glacier View next time, and just wanted to inform everybody that we're not wearing a different hat because it's public information, but the House Sustainable Education Task Force will have its first meeting on September 28th at 2 p.m. at the Anchorage Legislative Information Office. And the second meeting will be all day, starting at 8 on the 29th, in the same place. People that would like to tune in online, the address is akl.tv, and it'll be streamed video and audio. And it is a House committee that will discuss the foundation formula and how schools are funded and energy issues and rural versus urban and all those things. So just wanted to inform you of that. Thank you.
Member Larson.
I just want to thank the staff again for Board Connect and all the information that we get to update, even the stuff that I don't open. On the September meetings at Glacier View, I may or may not be there depending on we have an illness outside that I might have to go out. And I will inform the board president if that does occur and when it does occur. Thank you.
Member Cheatham.
Well, thank you. I want to thank the staff for the presentation. And Mr. Stone, I thought you led the meeting very well. We're here, so thank you so much for that. This was a difficult meeting for me. I was thinking about this meeting all day and dreading the decision because it was on the school naming. But because I know it's a very emotional issue for all sides,
And I just want to say also that even though it's very emotional, I was very impressed, and I want to thank all parties for the graciousness that I saw on this from both sides. So thank you.
Member Welton.
Yes, I was able to go to 9 open houses, and there's several more that I missed because they were all stacked on the same night. And there was barbecues, and there was just cookies at some, and some didn't even have snacks at all, and that's okay. That's not why I go to the meetings. I was at a couple of schools where the numbers of students were very high, in the fifth grades especially, and so I realized that it's hard to change things after the beginning of the year, but some of the students are going to need to either be moved, or there's going to have to be more help for them in the classroom. It's really hard. And I recognize that there are some classroom teachers that can handle 35 students in a class, and because they have the ability to really manage that class. But sometimes there are the students that are not necessarily your model pupils. It's just the way things are, and at the college level, I can tell you the same thing continues. I wanted to say that I received calls concerning registration. I received calls concerning transcriptions. I don't know why they called me, but people wanted their transcripts from their high school to go for their jobs or for their getting into college, and they called me. So I did get them to the right place. And then there were people that wanted records sent to different schools, and they called me. I don't know why my phone number shows up, but it must show up as you Google or something. Anyway, this morning there was a Justice Coalition meeting. It was fairly well attended. We had the new trooper assigned for DV for the Valley. Amy Nelson was there. She'd just been taking the sexual assault training that was at Matsu College this last couple of weeks. And she was there to at least introduce herself and talk about it. We had juvenile probation, Burchell High School. Mr. Vervelo was there, youth court. A couple of the social service agencies that provide mental health counseling were there as well. And again, everybody's invited to that. I don't know that anybody else has ever shown up. It's at 7:30 on the third Wednesday of the month, so the next meeting is the 18th of September. And I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to throw down a challenge. Come to the meeting. And I'll buy you breakfast. It's not a bribe because it's less than a $15. That's all I have.
Member Lacey?
Yes, I just want to thank the teaching and support staff that we have. They're the best in the state, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Lacey. I wanted to say I'm very happy personally that school has started, and I really appreciate the teachers and all the support staff at the schools getting all those kids put together and moving in one direction to get to class and on to learning. So thank you for all your good work this fall, and let's have a good year.
I move to adjourn.
I'll second.
Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.